Hello, everyone. It's time again for Heart to Heart. Another living chance to speak the living words of God according to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. I thank the Lord for that. Today, the Lord just, I just meditated on his word, and we had communion today. He spoke to me some things that he wants to do and showed me different aspects of my ministry and all those who partake of this ministry, the things that he's doing. And I thank God for all of it. Now, the Lord our God is good. He's worthy to be praised. He is awesome. And he's mightily moving in on the earth. He's using people that love him, holy people who will just yield to him. Yielding to the Holy Spirit, it's not spooky. It's the best thing ever. You're going to receive life from him. And just like we said in the last broadcast, the seven manifestations of the Holy Spirit, which rested on Jesus Christ, guided him throughout his ministry. And the Lord is foundational. And we're going to pick up where we left off last time. Because the same things that Jesus did, these are the same things that you can do. Everything that Jesus did, he did as a man that decided to be obedient to God. Now, there are two things about God. There's something about God that's similar with something about Satan. God wants you to choose his way and love him and go forward. And the devil deceives people. That's the first step. But Satan's not satisfied with deception, even though he'll gladly use it. He's trying to get you into rebellion, all out open rebellion against God. He wants you to hate God like he does and yield to him as if he's worthy. And you're not getting any rewards from Satan. That's not, you know, he gives you other people's things. And he don't really give you anything. He teaches you, he uses people's weaknesses against them for his own gain. I've heard of musicians making a deal with the devil so they can be famous. All they're doing is yielding themselves, and there's so much weakness in people that it's all an illusion. Satan gave them nothing. They just made a deal with a very foolish angel. And that was one of the stupidest things. That's the stupidest thing a man could do. It's stupid. You will end up in torment fooling with Satan. It's not to our advantage. It's against all life. All it brings is death and destruction. And the time you think you enjoy, that you have, you know, Moses, he didn't give in to the pleasures of this world. He did what was right. He forsook the pleasures of this world, and he did that which was right. He sought the Lord, and he wanted to avenge his people. He wanted to avenge. He was a priest, a real one. Now, and he was also a prophet, a real one. And you know, a lot of people say, well, why not? You can live a life of luxury. Right now, he didn't do that. He was raised as Pharaoh's son. He could have. But he did not do that. He denied that life. And he did that which was right. He tried to bring about justice in his own strength. But that was, you know, he killed a man that had oppressed another. And he fled Egypt. And in those 40 years, the Lord trained him. He was over cow. He kept cattle, and he was a blessing to the priest of Midian, and married his daughter. He came back a prophet. He could have lived the life of luxury. He could have turned a blind eye to that which was right, and lived for himself, like so many these days do. But he didn't take the devil's bait, and he didn't take the devil's way. And he don't have the devil's punishment. Now, he took the same road that Jesus took. He did that which was right. And everything Jesus did, he did as a man, an honorable man. He lived to honor God courageously, devotedly, and on purpose. Everything Jesus did, he meant it. He put all of his heart in what he was doing and what he was saying as he was guided by the Holy Spirit. He was fully persuaded in everything he did for God, as he lived to honor God. He was totally diligent in everything he said and everything that he did. He did in the name of God. He represented God to mankind. And he gave us the right and the power to be the sons and daughters of God. And now he made us joint heirs with himself. Just as Jesus was, so are we in this world. But we have to grow. Just like he did, he chose to grow. No man makes another man grow. Growing is something that's on purpose. Getting saved is something that you do alone and on purpose. Other people can encourage you. They can preach the word to you. They'll try to coerce you, but you make that decision. And the decision to grow is another decision that you make. And no man can make it for you. And, you know, I learned something from the Lord. He believes in what we can do in him. And I believe in what my children can do in him. And because I've been in his presence and I've been around the Lord and I saw him do things and I watch how he uses me to minister to people, I have no fear that my children will choose the evil road. I don't worry about them. I don't fear. Job feared that his children would curse God somewhere. And he gave offering. I just taught my children the word of God. And I told them, you're going to have to choose God's path. The enemy is going to try to persuade you against it. But you're going to have to study the word and fortify your heart to do what's right. I told my daughter just last week, my oldest daughter, Shana. I said, she told me about some kind of bomb threat at UAB at the hospital where she was. And I said, well, if you pay attention to the Holy Spirit, he will guide you. You won't walk into a trap and you can help others. I said, but you have to study the word of God and hear his word to be sensitive so that when he speaks, you'll hear him and won't discount. I said, most people, they don't listen to the Holy Spirit. His voice is not loud to them because other voices are too loud to them. I give them the information God gives me. And people don't intend to not listen to the Holy Spirit. They don't wake up and say, well, I'm not going to listen to the Holy Spirit today. But people can be so focused on what they're doing, especially college students, because it takes a lot of study. They always study and they're trying to pass tests and understand what they're learning. A lot of their attention is almost trapped. And then they work. But spend time in the word so the voice of the Lord will be louder to you. Now, and she loves God, and you know, but even people that love God don't always listen. And I don't doubt that she'll not do the things that I say or the things that I already taught her. But sometimes in life we need reminders so that we'll... You know, your children need your counsel sometimes, especially when the Holy Spirit is guiding you. We need the counsel of God when he's trying to guide us. And we need to hear his word. So see, the word gives us a charge of life. And as we receive that charge of life, we become more dedicated to the Lord. We become more wary. More aware of what's happening. You know, just like the sons of Issachar, they understood the times. Sometimes people don't understand the times that they're in and the danger that they're in. And they trust other, they trust the wrong thing and not the right thing. They trust the illusion and not reality. The Holy Spirit is reality. Faith is the foundation of all reality. So if you live by your faith, you control your destiny and your future reality. You can change the facts that's on the ground where you are. You can alter the attack of the devil. You can turn your own captivity by your faith. And the shield of faith, I explained many broadcasts ago, that it's not, it doesn't look like a Roman shield of war. The shield of faith is anything you need it to be. It can go anywhere you need it to go. The shield of faith can surround your children like an iron bubble, and they'll not be able to get hurt by the world. The shield of faith can, just like the four Hebrew boys, you know, the three Hebrew young men in Nebuchadnezzar's furnace, where they made the idol that he was trying to make everybody worship. They were in that kiln, and the heat killed the men that opened the door. And he saw four men walking in the fire. One of them was Jesus. They were shielded by faith. Jesus was with them. Son of God was with them. Your shield of faith, if you could see it, it can surround you like an iron bubble. It can even work against time and through time. You can secure your future by your prayers. So your faith can change the facts on the ground where you are and the facts on the ground where you are in the future. Every work that God gives you to do, you can secure it by your faith to be safe, to be blessed, to be Satanless. I'm going to say that again. You can secure the work that God has given you to be blessed, to be safe, to be full of joy, and to be Satanless. You can command Satan and all of his demons. They can't hinder. I do it the easy way. I say, Satan, you can't hinder this work. You can't hinder not one soul from going on this website that the Lord has ordained to click on it. In Jesus' mighty name, every one of them will hear what God has to say through me. I will be used of God. I yield my voice to Him. I do His holy word. And I love Him. And I secure this work in Jesus' name. I act on the guidance of the Holy Spirit. I speak His word and not my own. I speak His opinion, not my own. And my opinion becomes His opinion. He called me to speak His word, teach His people His life. Nothing on earth can hinder it. What I bind on earth is bound in heaven. What I loose on earth is loosed in heaven. And I loose these broadcasts to go to the holy ears of those who love God from the heart. And I speak from the heart. Just like my Savior, just like my brother. He made me a joint heir with Him, and I love Him. I will honor the Holy Spirit. I will live and govern my life so that the Holy Spirit can rest on me. And I ask the Lord to help me do it, to honor Him in all things. All in Jesus' mighty name. Do I trust myself to do all that? Not Thurston, but I trust. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ. I put my trust in him. Faith looks to God. And through him, I can do all these wonderful things. He can take a regular, ordinary man and do his holy work. And I live my life to honor him in all things, to make things right. And that kind of integrity has to be real and on purpose. God bears fruit. We all bear fruit after our kind. You can't cheat people and think that the people that follow you will and hear you out won't cheat. You have to be the will of God. But even in that, I want people to look way beyond me and see him. Pattern after Jesus. Do what God gives you to do. Allow me to be the vessel that he uses. But go way beyond me. Look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Those that look to me only or in person. Fear, remember, fear looks to man. Everybody that looks to man always get in fear. You'll fear that you'll do something that don't please that person you look up to. A lot of people don't know this. But fear looks to man. But we all need to look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And that's how we build. And then the Holy Spirit can rest on us. And I tell Satan this too. I say, I defy you. I hate your ways. I hate all of your ways. I hate pride. I step on it. Squash it like a bug. I hate lust. To use a woman against the will of God. I hate greed. I'll steal nothing that belongs to another. I live to represent Jesus Christ. And I want to honor him. I defy Satan's ways. Whatever God say I can do, I can do. Whatever God say I can do, I will do. And I'll do it on purpose. And I'll do it in joy. I'll follow the peace. And whatever I lack, I'll pray for it and receive it. Because the promise of God is, if I abide in him and he abide in me, I'll ask what I will and it will be done. And the first things I always ask for is whatever I need to get his will done. That will always be first as long as I live. And I'll ask him for the things that I desire, and it'll enter my life honorably and on time. All in the name of Jesus. Now, last time we left off, Jesus was sent, he was led up of the Holy of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. The Holy Spirit guided him. See, the Lord wanted him to win. Before he can commission a person to do his perfect will, they have to be able to stand. Before David was crowned king of Israel, even though he was anointed, he had to defy and conquer his enemy. He had to have a heart that would not let the devil take what God has given to his people. When he saw the giant defying Israel, he wondered why nobody else defied him. And then he took the responsibility and killed Goliath himself. The anointing of a king was on him, and he was anointed because he had the heart of God. He had a heart like God's heart. Jesus, our Savior, he destroyed the temptations of Satan. If God sent Jesus to the, if the Holy Spirit led him to go be to the wilderness to destroy Satan's temptation, that had to be done first before he was sent to his people. Because God is foundational. Jesus had to win. Some stages in this life, you have to win your battle before you go to the next. Yeah, but he was the Son of God. But everything he did as a man. He's our pattern. We look to him, we see what we should do. Verse 1, this is Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward in hunger. Now, we read this last time. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." And he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Jesus prepared himself. He was just as dedicated in the fight as he was in the preparation. You win your battles ahead of time. Surprise battle, you're able to win as well. But he prepared himself to win. The Lord sent him over there in the wilderness, this miserable place, to conquer Satan, because he wanted Jesus to win, and he wanted him to win like we have to win. Jesus had to win like a man has to win. He did it with authority, the same authority that we have. He was in Adam's position, doing Adam's job. Remember, in the first place, God told Adam, "Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth." Then he said, "Subdue it." This is what Jesus was doing. Then he said, "Have dominion over it, over the earth, everything." Subdue it means don't let the enemy overtake what you're doing. Adam allowed Satan, he gave Satan free reign in the earth when he obeyed him. When he listened to the snake, which was tempted by Satan, which tempted Eve, and then Adam obeyed him. So he took a snake at his word and lost everything, including his life. Jesus came, put his head on Satan's neck. See, this is where Jesus crushed his head. He couldn't be bought. Verse 3, "And when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread.'" But watch what Jesus did. But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." This statement satisfied all of the seven manifestations of the Holy Spirit. He had the spirit of might. He spoke the knowledge of God. It was wise. He spoke the counsel of God in the fear of God. And he was not afraid of Satan, period. There was no fear in him, because perfect love that honors God cast out all fear. All right, Satan couldn't win. First round goes to Jesus. "Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple. Saith unto him, 'If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone.' Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. He knew who he was in Christ. Again, he honored the seven manifestations of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord was resting on him. He was strong in the Lord, spirit of might. He quoted the word, the knowledge of God, in the wisdom of God. He was steadfast, unmovable, unshakable. He didn't stutter. He said, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. He feared God, not Satan. Round two goes to Jesus. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, the dazzle of them, the wonders. Saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Jesus saith unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Round three goes to Jesus. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. It took might. It took knowledge. It took wisdom and God's counsel. And it took the fear of the Lord to win these fights. God is good. As we go forward in him, we do the very same things that our Savior, Jesus Christ, did. I like the way that verse 11, then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Now, it took all the seven manifestations. That's what that, you know, before and after and during the fight. Well, before and even during the fight, you had the counsel of the Holy Spirit. After a big battle that I have with the enemy, whether I win or lose, the Lord teach me things sometimes about the strategy. I learned a lot from winning my battles against Satan. I began to notice his tactics. How he do things, how he thinks, how he put a plan. Sometimes the battle that I won against was a long-term plan that he had. And I learned things in the early years when the enemy would come with a temptation. How I remember a thought that I didn't deal with. I didn't rebuke it. And then time went on, and then he tried to surprise me with temptation. And by the guidance of God and the love of God, I always won. Even if I had to take the way of escape. I've been in situations the Lord will make a way of escape so you can win. But as I grew in the Lord, I didn't need the way of escape. I just spoke the word and Satan ran. In life, the enemy used things that you don't think of against you. But see, when you're in the word of God, you're being prepared. Some of the battles that I won in life, the Lord would give me his word, and I'd meditate on it, and it would prepare me for whatever I had to face, so that when the opportunity, when good opportunities came, I was ready for it. In the presence of a certain audience, I was prepared to say what they needed, because I was guided by the Holy Spirit. We need his guidance. Sometimes the word you need, instead of knowledge, you need strength and might. And the Lord can take care of that. Every problem you can have, the Lord can take care of it. The guidance of the Holy Spirit helped Jesus with all of these three fights. And he won every one of them. And angels came and they rejoiced with him. Ministered to him. And he sent them out to go find You know, immediately, see, the angels came and ministered to him. Verse 12 said, and when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed unto Galilee. And it goes on down, and he started picking his disciples. Now, we're out of time again. We're going to get to the greater, you know, we're going to go somewhere with this. The Lord is really moving in this, in these scriptures. And we're going to illustrate how Jesus used the information he gained from the Holy Spirit, the seven manifestations of the Holy Spirit throughout his ministry. And we'll be on this for the next few broadcasts. Now, I'm out of time. The Lord is not. He'll continue to counsel you, give you his knowledge, wisdom, his might. He will rest on you. And you're going to see great days ahead. All the seven manifestations of the Holy Spirit will operate in your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God loves you. And Jesus is our Lord.